All right. Move us in, Daniel.
Wait, that's your job. Go on. Go get your cow. There she is. Oh, it's good to hear from your cow again, Brian.
It's always good to hear from her.
I forgot if she has a name.
I don't think she does.
That's good. Why name a cow?
Yeah, when you can get the milk for free, as they say.
Yeah, they do.
Why name the cow when you can get the milk anonymously?
When you can get the milk for free. We're on a quest to comprehensively review all the different flavors of milk.
Daniel, well, it's been a week since we recorded.
It has. It's been a long week. It's been such a long week that all our milks went rotten. We've had to buy more milks.
Yeah. Luckily for me, I had the Nesquik strawberry went bad, so I don't have to drink that. And my Bingeray melon went bad.
Oh, that seems like a shame.
Well, yeah, I guess a little bit.
To me, it seems like a shame.
So, Daniel, when I bought that milk, it came in a six-pack with two of each flavor. So I was going to reveal this at the time when I drank the melon on the podcast, but now that time will never happen.
they don't make it anymore.
So I did, out of desperation, or I guess trying to tidy up my fridge, I drank the second melon one. No one in my house wanted to drink it. And it was terrible. It was really bad.
Oh, really bad. Did it taste melony?
Kind of.
Sure.
Sort of like, so I actually like honeydew melon, but I think it was like, tasted like a honeydew melon that had gone bad.
Ah, I think I like honeydew melon too.
A lot of people don't.
You know, the guy, Oscar J. Isaacs, whoever shot John F. Kennedy, ate a honeydew melon for breakfast that morning.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's not that interesting. I'm sure everybody who's done something terrible ate something beforehand.
Yeah. Well, that is true.
But it's the kind of interesting fact that gets passed around on podcasts on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
When you listen to enough of them.
Now it's happened again.
It's happened again. Oh, I forgot we were on a podcast on the internet. Hi, listeners. How's it going? It's me, Daniel Kay. The K is for cow. This is my friend Brian. We're still friends, even though I neglected him and didn't record the podcast for several months. Last week, I mean.
Several weeks of... Several months in 1 week.
Yes, that's right.
That's all right, Daniel.
Through almost a year.
At the time of recording, we are still 13 episodes behind real life.
It's a good buffer.
So this still won't come out for several more months.
How are you enjoying the lead up to Christmas, Brian?
It's great.
Ho, ho, ho.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Really love it. We actually had our... No, okay. I shouldn't talk about things that are actually happening in real life.
No, go on. Of course you should. What are you kidding? What else are we going to talk about? Milk? Fuck that. What happened in your real life, Brian?
Oh, it was just really hot yesterday. Actually...
Oh, interesting.
Actually, Daniel, it made me think of something. So yesterday it was around... the forecast said it was going to be 98 degrees. And then I was wondering, did you have the band 98 Degrees in Australia?
I never saw them.
Did they rename themselves? Did they get localized internationally into Celsius?
Good question. No, I bet this is a band I've never heard of, but I bet even if they did come down to Australia, they wouldn't be that clever. Right? What kind of music does 98 Degrees make?
Just like boy band pop music.
Right. No, they wouldn't localize for us.
But I guess 98 degrees in Celsius would still be really hot. Right?
Absolutely. It would be you'd be almost to the point of boiling if you were a body of water, for example.
Yeah. So maybe.
But imagine, if you will, Brian, I had an idea. When we form our boy band, here's an idea.
Yeah.
Right? Don't share this around because this is genius.
-30 degrees?
No. The boy band's name would be contingent on some other thing. Like the temperature or a mathematical equation that you get by adding two average temperatures from opposite points in the world. So the boy band's name would change at a set time every day to a new thing. Like 98 degrees, maybe they named it because it was 98 degrees on that day, and so the next day their name would be like 97, and then like 92, and then in winter they'd be like, 50 degrees, the band 50 degrees is going to come play at Central Park Stadium,
The band 50 degrees does not sound very enticing.
Wow, it's pretty hot, Brian, 50 degrees.
Not in Fahrenheit, though.
No, but what do you think of my idea?
It's a great idea, Daniel. I love it.
Thank you.
And I absolutely think that's how we should name our boy band.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, cool. Daniel.
Our two boys and a cow band.
Yeah. Okay.
Cowboy band.
Daniel, let's talk about soon on Milking It.
Uh-huh. Upcoming milks.
Since our milks have changed a little bit, curious if there's anything you're really looking forward to on your list.
Honestly, anything. I'm really thirsty. I was going to make myself a Bickford's Lime Cordial earlier, but then I thought, I'm going to be drinking milk with Brian. I don't want to have a full tummy, not full of liquid sloshing all over the microphone. No. So I'll leave myself empty for the milk. And I have, but I'm real thirsty. A serious answer, though. I got something which I should have added to the bucket way earlier, which is pre-mixed Milo. Do you know about Milo?
I don't really know about Milo, no.
Ah, sure. It's the drink we've got here. It's Australian, although it's owned by Nestle. Don't know if it was always owned by Nestle, but it's a malted barley and cocoa flavored drink. So it's like cocoa and malted barley. It's all the marketing. If you just looked at the marketing, you'd see chocolate. You'd think, this is choc milk. But when you drink it, there's something else going on.
Interesting.
And it's because it's malted barley and cocoa in a milk drink. Traditionally, it comes in huge, great big tins. You crack it open and you mix it in with cold milk or you have it hot. But if you mix it with cold milk, which I like better, it's not very good at dissolving. So it just forms an island on the surface and then it barely flavors the milk. It's kind of a completely flawed product, almost totally. To get anything out of it, you have to really load it up into your cup, and then it never fully dissolves, no matter how little you put in. Like, there's always, I don't know, it's just a faulty product. But it's a cultural touchstone, and the flavor's nice.
Very interesting, yeah. Daniel. Well, yeah, that does sound like it'll be fun if you get that.
Yeah. Pre-mixed Milo, I don't think, has been a thing for very long, but it started cropping up here and there, and so I bought some.
All right. Excellent. Looking forward to it.
What about you? How about you? What's coming up at the top of your barrel of milk?
Well, Daniel, I've got a few, like, very real-looking chocolate milks. So I'm excited about potentially drinking one of them.
You mean like made with real chocolate, not like imitation powdered stuff.
This milk hasn't been homogenized, so
we'll
see about that.
A little creepy crawlies growing in it.
This other milk, it has been pasteurized, but don't know if it's been. Maybe this one hasn't been homogenized either. Who knows?
Not me.
Yeah, not you and not me. I got one that's in a little...
I just found my IKEA lamp. It was in the bottom drawer here in my little back office. Oh, my little blue IKEA lamp. I found it.
Wonderful, Daniel.
My wife was doing some cross-stitching, and she's like, "Ah, this is so bad on my eyes. My room so cavernous and dark. These old light globes not doing it for me. Dan, go find the old IKEA lamp." And I was like, "Okay." And I couldn't find it. But I just dug it up then. That was 3 days ago.
Well,
yeah.
Hopefully her eyes haven't deteriorated beyond the point of repair in the intervening days.
She's very sick.
God. Okay, Daniel. I'm just seeing that there are things available called Milo Nuggets.
Oh, good.
Let's not look into Milo too much unless we're going to drink it. All right, Daniel. Well, that does sound, yeah. I hope you get the Milo. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
And I guess I should also mention right now, 5 of my 7 milks are just chocolate milks.
Chocolate.
So,
yeah.
Chances are I won't be drinking anything super interesting.
My pen's just run out.
Uh oh.
It was working fine before, but now it's not good. I've got a blunt pencil. But keep on going, it'll be fine.
You're going to be able to write down your scores, Daniel?
Sure.
Okay. Great. Well, then let's keep going.
Yeah.
Well, it's time to spin the Rotolactor, Daniel.
Oh, my God. Hang on. Isn't there something before that? Is the Shut Up, Daniel segment afterwards?
It's after.
Oh, my gosh. I've forgotten how this podcast works.
Yeah, haven't we
all? Oh, Brian! I haven't greased the Rotolactor.
You don't have
in
what?
Months.
Where is it?
Oh, my Rotolactor grease? I ran out ages ago. I just haven't gone and got it anymore. So the Rotolactor's going to be all claggy. Don't worry, it's my problem. I'll go deal with it. But it's just not ideal. I've been.
Well, Daniel, we could work around that.
It's all right. I can just go up and I'll push it. It's just not going to be a very good, smooth, greasy Rotolactor experience.
Well, that'll be
all right.
Okay.
Up I go. There I am, Brian. I'm pushing it now. Yeah, that's it.
That's all we got?
Yeah, I'll have it greased for next time. I'm sorry. It's been a while. I forget how this all works.
All right.
What did it land on?
Daniel. I am excited. I got my royal milk tea.
Oh, cool. This one's been in there forever.
It's been in there forever. Royal milk tea in a can. The finest blend of black tea infused with 25% milk. Very exciting.
Right.
Daniel, you've got...
Yeah, Brian.
Oak Allen's pineapples.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Whatever that means.
I guess.
What are Allen's pineapples? It's a candy.
It's a candy. It's not an important candy. I bought this milk when I bought the Peppermint Crisp and the Fantails. And, like, Allen's brand pineapples, candy pineapples... You could have, like, they could have just not existed and I wouldn't have known about them. Like, you know, I'd feel the same way. They're not an iconic candy. They're just nothing. And I bought a bunch of them and I think I've just eaten them all. They're just like sugary gum. There's nothing special about them. They don't even really taste that pineapple-y. But we'll see if the milk is any good. I think this is, you know what this is, Brian? This is the result of a trend. This is the result of an Australian milk market trend. Right?
Yeah.
This podcast pretty much started with the wagon wheels tie-in milk. And there's the Snickers tie-in milk that you enjoyed so much. The Twix that you enjoyed even more, if I remember correctly. And then, like, you'll have to do some editing. The oak, you know, all these other... And then this is like the second wave where they're like, okay, what other candy IPs can we purchase? Pineapples, what's that? I guess the last batch made money, so let's make Alan's pineapples flavored oak milk, I guess. It's just... They're churning it out because the formula obviously worked before, I guess.
Yeah.
Everyone in their milk podcasts bought the weird oak.
Everyone bought the wagon wheels milk and...
Yeah. And the racist milk made enough of a splash.
Mm-hmm. So, of the oak milks you've drank... Almost all of them have been gimmicky.
Yeah, totally.
Except for strawberry.
Yeah, that's what oak does best, I think, is the gimmicks.
Do they make like chocolate
milk? Yeah, they make chocolate, they make iced coffee, they make malted vanilla, they make banana. I've never seen a spearmint milk of theirs, but I bet they do it. It just hasn't gotten out west yet. Brian, I wonder if you heard that since the release of the racist milk episode, the Allen's Candy Company changed the name of that candy, or has declared that they're going to change the name of the racist candy, and also another candy. Allen's or Nestle? I forget, whatever. Did you hear about that? They're not going to call them Redskins anymore.
Yeah. I did hear about that.
And I think it's not too much to assume that it was as a result of the fine work that we did on this podcast, exposing them.
I think so too.
Yeah.
The NFL team is going to change their name as well.
Oh, well done, Brian. That was all. I can't take any credit for that. You brought that up yourself, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on that episode. It's good to know that this podcast really does drive positive social change in the world.
We are driving tons of positive social change. It's really incredible.
What a worthwhile thing. Yeah.
Congratulations, Daniel.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations, us both, Brian. All right. Shall I shut up?
Yeah, Daniel, why don't you shut up?
Okay.
All right. With the new science, there were two possible approaches to milk as a public health problem. Government could require the pasteurization of all milk, despite the fact that many people disliked it. Or they could set up a system of inspection to guarantee the quality of raw milk, which was called certified milk. Henry Coit, a Newark, New Jersey physician, established a network of panels of physicians known as a medical milk commission. The first bottle of certified milk was produced by the Fairfield Dairy in 1894. In 1907, commissions from around the country had banded together to found the American Association of Medical Milk Commissions. A certificate from a commission earned the right to label the milk as certified milk, which would fetch a far higher price. But as would happen with other special quality milks in the next century, the consumer was not willing to pay a high enough price to cover the added cost of certification. Advocates of pasteurization often acknowledged that raw milk had more nutrients than pasteurized milk, but they still insisted that pasteurized milk was safer to drink. Advocates of certified milk, or clean raw milk, said that it too was safe and continued to lobby for their cause. Among their supporters was the New York City Health Department, who was adamant that the solution lay in more rigorous inspection. What was being called the milk question attracted the interest of President Theodore Roosevelt, a native New Yorker.
Should have been the name of the podcast. Yeah. The milk question.
If only we had read this before then. Mm. We could change the name now.
Sure. It's not the too milk late. Question with Brian and Dan.
I'll just make a note to change the name of the podcast when episode 32 comes out.
Done. Thanks for tuning into the milk question, everyone.
President Theodore Roosevelt ordered the Public Health Service to study the issue. They commissioned a panel of 20 supposed experts on dairy, and in 1908 published a report concluding that raw milk was dangerous and that pasteurization did not alter the composition or flavor of milk. Many disagreed with the panel's findings, as is still the case today. And then this one, this is a bit of a jump, but I'm going to add this one as well.
Sure.
Once Americans became confident that the milk they loved was safe, it took on what was at times an almost bizarre importance. In 1923, the future president Herbert Hoover, then Secretary of Commerce, addressed the World Dairy Congress with the words, "Upon this industry, more than any other of the food industries, depends not alone the problem of public health, but there depend upon it the very growth and virility of the white race."
There we go. Great.
There we go. Herbert Hoover.
Da, 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 da. It's a great punchline at the end of all of that.
I guess in 1923 it was okay to be racist.
Yeah. I guess it was. The growth and virility of the white race. We should have named the podcast that, shouldn't we, Brian? Do you want to change the name?
Oh, no.
You can be growth and I'll be virility.
I want to be called the World Dairy Congress.
I like the milk question.
Milk question is good, yeah. Certified milk.
Certified milk. That or the white race one.
Oh my gosh. No, Daniel. Not the white race one.
I just mean the race of little white cultures in the milk.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember which episode we talked about the white supremacists who like drinking milk, but yeah.
It feels pretty recent, I think.
Turns out it goes back to at least Herbert Hoover in 1923.
Turns out. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, well, it probably literally is the same talking point.
Yeah. Probably.
My other pen just ran out of pen.
Oh, no. Hang on.
Oh, yep. No, it's okay. I just picked up my old pen.
And it works.
Because they look identical. Hang on. I was using the pen that didn't work instead of the pen that did work and thinking it was the pen that did work, but that had stopped working.
You're having quite the pen adventure over there, Daniel.
I've got so many pens. I'm penned up like a cow. Do you keep a cow in a pen?
Maybe.
Keep a pig in a pen, don't you? You could probably keep a cow and a pig in a pen. Doesn't make it not a pen if you put a cow in there with a pig, and it was definitely a pen when the pig was in there, right?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to open my oak pineapple.
I'm going to open my royal milk tea.
Oh, I'm actually going to be quiet and listen to the crack. Go ahead. Oh, that sounded sharp. What a tin. What a can.
I hope I wasn't supposed to shake this. This can is sweating.
Like a beer commercial.
Exactly. That's what happened here, Daniel. It was hot. Real hot. I already mentioned that, didn't I? Anyway, it's still warm, and my can of milk is sweaty. That sounds like you're taking a sip.
I've taken a sip. I've formed opinions already, Brian. Opinions swirling around in my brain.
Same. Hit us with a chat timer, Daniel.
All right. Let's go. Okay. It's on 5 minutes. Do you have a topic?
No.
Cool. I've got Borderlands 2 here on the PS Vita. I've never played it before.
Wow.
I thought I'd just hit a new game.
There exciting. It goes. Right now?
Can you hear that? Oh, it's the opening cinematic.
Yeah.
I'm seeing like a picture of a world drawn on like a, you know,
you got like Borderlands 2
map. Borderlands 2, yeah. First there was the vault. A warrior who opened it, the vault was just a container of tentacles and disappointment.
Have you ever played a...
Should I skip this, Brian?
Maybe. Have you ever played a Borderlands game before, Daniel?
Never. They're shooting at something with like a big eye.
Yeah, what is a PS Vita?
A PS Vita? It's like a, you know, a PS Portable or a PSP?
Yeah.
It's like that, but bigger and better in some ways and worse in other ways. I'm just going to skip this. Where can I start? Oh, it's unskippable. There's no button I can press that'll skip it. Hyperion?
I like Borderlands, Daniel.
What's this Hyperion? That's a book.
That is a book. Have you read it?
I've read the first chapter. There's some pilgrim. Someone arrived.
You read the first chapter?
I was going to reread it recently.
You should read it.
Yeah.
It's quite good.
Oh, yeah. Well, who's your favorite Hyperion character then, Brian?
The Shrike.
The Shrike. Okay. Shrike and Donkey?
No.
Dragon? No.
No, I don't. I don't like the priest guy. I don't like his story as much. Also, I like the tree.
Oh, there's a tree.
Well,
is it a living tree?
The ship they're in is a tree.
Oh, cool.
I like that.
It's based on...
Yeah, the...
Was it the John Milton book or some other old guy book?
Let's see. I'm looking up...
I'm looking at a weird mutant dog in an old landscape with a shitty-looking billboard in it.
It follows a similar structure to the Canterbury Tales.
Ah.
I'm trying to see who... yeah, okay. I'm getting some...
Car just drove past the dog and it's got its foot caught on a chain dragged by the car.
Oh, yeah.
It's full of really scrappy looking rat weirdos with masks and lots of like scars and dirty clothes, and they're driving through a desert.
I'm trying to remember which one like of monkeys. These I liked. Who knows?
Oh, the car just got hit by a train and everybody's flying through the air in slow motion.
Yeah.
I wonder which one of these is me. 2K Games presents... Oh, this is still the opening credits. Part of the car wreckage just landed on the train. Oh, that guy just got hit by a sign saying a Gearbox Software game. Like it's in thingo. Borderlands 2, there it is. There's the big title. Do I have to make a character in this game?
Yeah. You know what else I liked in Hyperion?
Oh. What?
There's like a boat that goes across like a lake of like tall grass.
That does sound good.
And it's obviously it's more complicated than that. But yeah, it's like...
Oh, that sounds nice. I'd read a book about a boat that goes along a lake of long grass. That sounds fantastic.
It's like really, really, really tall grass, and then it's like a lake of that.
This
boat goes across it.
Yeah, so the boat has to go on top of the grass,
mm-hmm.
and if you weren't in the boat, you'd fall down to the bottom, or... Is there aliens at the bottom?
I don't know. You just get, like, lost and stuff and die.
I guess so. That makes sense. Oh, there's, like, a hologram character. Oh, no, they're not a hologram. They just stabbed someone with a laser sword. Oh! And then they kicked another guy onto the sword. Zero as number. Zero as a number. I'm seeing the opening credits. This is a cast of characters who I'm sure I'm going to grow to love over the course of this 5 minutes.
You'll pick one of them. They're like the different classes, kind of.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks like we've just gone into this train like it's Final Fantasy VIII to assassinate some guy. Maybe this is Handsome Jack? But, turn around and it's a Handsome Jack mannequin with a bomb strapped to him. And now I guess we're all dead.
Oh, no. Daniel, have you ever played The Elder Scrolls Morrowind?
Oh, totally. Yeah, I love Morrowind.
What about Oblivion?
Yeah. Wait, these are just questions I asked you. Have you got a list of old questions that I asked you? Daniel, I don't want to be zero. How do I change?
Daniel?
Yeah? Yeah, Brian.
Should I buy one of those games?
Yeah. Can I honestly recommend Morrowind? I don't think I can, but I can recommend Oblivion. Ah, fucking hell, Jesus! Oh, that was right next to my ear. I'm doing the character selection.
Oh, they're not on.
Do we just want to turn this into an audio-only Let's Play?
They're not on sale anymore. I think we should drink our milks, Daniel.
Just chosen the mutant skin.
Before. I don't know why I would play Oblivion, though, when I could play Skyrim Special Edition. Right?
I mean, whatever. Skyrim, I find slightly ugly.
Huh. What about the Skyrim Special Edition?
I've never played it.
It's remastered.
What has it got? Hang on. They inserted the scene where the aliens sing Jedi Rocks. It's the Sice Noodles sings Jedi Rocks instead of... Oh, I've forgotten the name of the song she sings. I've just confirmed my character.
Good.
Am I going to get to shoot a gun before
Daniel.
We have to... Oh, more cutscenes.
Daniel, no more audio-only Let's Plays.
I've put it down.
Stay focused on the task at hand, Daniel, which is drinking milk. Have you been drinking your milk?
I've been drinking a little bit of milk, yeah. Oh, I'm curious how your tea's going.
Well, should we have a scoring moment then?
Sure. So, listeners down there in listener land, hi, how's it going? Me and Brian are about to just take a little bit of time to ourselves to write down the scores for these milks. You might be asking yourself, what scores, Brian and Dan? Well, we review these milks on their milkiness, their tastiness, their creativity, their value, their gestalt, and their zeitgeist. So without further ado, let's do that, shall we?
Yeah. Musical interlude?
Musical interlude, yes please. And we're going to do that thing... Oh, this can happen during the musical interlude. We're going to do the thing where we just rattle down the totals and we do an overview talk rather than spend time on every single point, right?
Right.
That seemed to work pretty well.
Yeah. It did.
Yeah, it was a good streamlining of the process.
All right. Here we go.
Here we do. Bye, everyone. Goodbye.
See you in a minute. And by in a minute, I mean like 3 seconds.
Yep.
For you. Just like Archie said, we ready. Whole click straight, no ticks like Nelly. Just looking at my past Zeitgeist scores and really questioning everything I ever thought I knew about myself.
Really? Are they all really high? Are they all really low? Are they all over the place?
Oh, Mike, I just don't remember. The Fairlife Yup White got a 90. Starbucks Cafe Latte Iced Espresso got an 88. I must
have been.
Siggy's Yogurt. I remember that being real nice. Okay.
Yeah. Love the Siggy's.
The Horizon Organics are okay. Yeah, who knows? All right, well, sure.
Mine are all over the place, my zeitgeists. Low, high, high, low, up and down.
All right, well, I've got a full 6 numbers, Daniel.
Yeah, me too. Hey, who was that ice cream paint job guy who was singing
his
car?
Rolling Who? Like a big shot. Chevy tuned up like a NASCAR pit stop. Fresh paint job.
Yeah.
Doro music. D O R.
Cool.
Doruff music.
Ah, Doruff. Yeah.
Doro. Oh, that's the album? Why does Spotify say that's the artist? It's D O R R O U G H.
Yeah.
Does anyone Drown? Know how to pronounce it? Oh, that's his real that's his real actual last name.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair enough.
Doro? Doruff? Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Yeah.
It's really fun. It's a really fun song.
Yeah. It reminds me of like a happier version of Hard in the Paint by Waka Flocka Flame. It's got the same...
Oh.
I don't know.
I love Waka Flocka Flame.
Yeah, he's very charismatic. I like it when he has, like, you know, he'll have, like, 12 songs on an album, like, I'm firing a gun in the air. And then at the end, he'll do a sincere song where, like, and he, all through his music, he's, like, his own spliff star, his own hype man, doing all those fun dog noises in the background. Blah, 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 blah. While he's rapping. And then in the sincere song, he does that but with a sad voice.
Oh, yeah?
It's really funny to hear him do the hype man thing, but with, like, a sad, like, sad voice, thinking about, like, singing about how grateful he is to his aunties. It's nice.
That's funny. You all know my favorite Waka Flocka Flame song, Danielle?
Go on, tell me.
Standing on the chair like, I don't really care, Danielle.
Mm.
That's probably the best line in all of music history.
Because it's been said so many times, it must be the best.
All right, Danielle. Wow. We should listen to every single Waka Flocka Flame album or mixtape. And do a podcast where we listen all the way through.
There's so much shit. I've been through quite a bit of it. He does some really good stuff, but he also just tosses out garbage like nobody's business.
Daniel?
Yeah?
He
seems like a nice guy. I think he's a vegan.
I think if we can come up with a really good name for the podcast, then we'll do it.
Sure, cool. Fingers crossed.
Waka Flocka Flame. All right.
Mm.
We just need
It's definitely... Any song where he's rapping slowly is really, really good. And any song where he tries to rap really fast is terrible, in my opinion.
LeBron Flocka James. My God.
Yeah.
There's a whole series.
Yeah. He'll have, like, LeBron Flocka James Volume 1, LeBron Flocka James Volume 2.
Do Flocka rant. It's terrible.
Salute me or shoot me.
My God. This is incredible, Daniel.
You got to look for hidden gems amongst all of this.
That's what we would be doing.
Yeah.
We would find the hidden gems.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
Flocka Valley 1.5 is got slightly more hidden gems than average. That's my tip.
Okay. Well, I look forward to podcasting this whole thing. All right, Daniel.
Totally.
Do you have your numbers? Are we ready to return to the podcast?
I do. Yeah. But I'm curious about do your T1. Oh, I'm really curious about the T.
Do my T1?
Do your T1.
Okay, Daniel. My tea is really good. I really like it. It is very delicious.
Good.
I mean, I really like black tea, so of course I like a milky black tea. It's pretty sweet. Tastes kind of like a... it's just a milk tea, right? Like you would get if you had a black tea flavored bubble tea, you know?
Oh, okay.
Maybe you don't know, but
I know bubble tea, but I only know like weird flavors that I don't understand that my aunt tells me I would like if I ordered it, and I go, okay, and then I guess I like it.
And then what happens?
Yeah, I guess I like it.
Oh,
it's fine.
That's it.
Don't understand the flavors that I'm tasting. Sucking up weird balls up a straw, Sago. Pop, 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 pop. Like I'm some medical device. Mm-hmm. Sucking stones out of a bladder or something. Disgusting, disgusting drink. Yeah, I guess it's fine.
Okay, well. Thanks for that association, Daniel. I'll never drink bubble tea again.
They'll bunch around the end of the straw and then shoot up into the back of your throat all at once. That's my experience. It's delicious.
It's
chewy and nice. I can't help but think, do you know sea turtles exclusively eat jellyfish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you think that that's like bubble tea?
Yeah, I bet they're like, oh. Mmm. And I'm the same. I'm experiencing the same. Although my mouth looks... Have you ever seen... Oh, have we even talked about this on the podcast? Brian, if you Google sea turtle mouth inside... Or just Google sea turtle mouth. Do it now.
Daniel, you have derailed us. Are you looking at all these teeth?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see some teeth.
Because their food's jellyfish, right? Or sea jellies, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
They're kind of like gelatinous slime things. So the sea turtle has like teeth, in inverted commas, coming out of the roof of its mouth and all the way down its throat, like the Sarlacc in Star Wars, the movie Star Wars.
Yeah.
Empire is the one with Jabba the Hutt.
Before they photoshopped in a different mouth inside the mouth.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a weird... The sea turtle mouth is just a weird hole with rings of teeth. So the jellyfish don't get out.
Yeah. I guess what did they add? They added a tongue?
It was a beak. It was like a long beak.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Muppet.
And they removed some teeth and they added this like big like Venus flytrap thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so people will only get that reference if they've seen the original version.
Yeah. Of Star Wars. You a Star Wars fan, Brian?
I love Star Wars, Daniel. That's not a topic for right now. The topic for right now is how milky is my milk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's reasonably milky. I mean, it's only 25% milk, so it's to be expected that's not extremely milky. But, yeah, so nice milkiness. It's very, very tasty, a nice black tea flavor. It's sweet, but not too sweet, and very drinkable. And it comes in this nice little 9-ounce can. It's about... 265 mils is how many 9 ounces is, Daniel. So it's like
265 millimeters deep.
It's like a small can that's really cute. And it's white and it's got blue writing on it, and it's got a little royal milk tea thing with a little crown, and there's little like flowers and stuff. It's a very, very cute can. It's delightful to drink out of. And of course, there's the experience of popping
cracking
the top
open.
Yeah. With that wonderful cracking noise.
How far away from expiring is it? Could you put this in a panic bunker or something?
Daniel?
Yeah?
I think it's about a month away from expiring.
Oh, no good for the panic bunker.
Yeah. Can't
oats.
Keep it forever.
Just do more oats.
You need more, Milkus.
Yes. Well, everyone needs more Milkus.
My Milkus here lasts until August of next year. Daniel, yeah. And this little can cost me $2, which isn't bad, but could have been better. I think ideally, ideally when I look at this, I feel like this should cost maybe $1.
Yeah, that was the number in my head too, from your description, 250ml can.
But yeah, $2 was the cost. So Daniel, my numbers are a milkiness, 59. A tastiness, a 91. A creativity, 66. Value, 50. Because I think it should have cost half as much as it did.
Yep, adds up. Yep.
Gestalt, 88. It's super gestalty, very easy to gestalt. Could gestalt it all day. Although I did get a sense that maybe because of how sweet it was, if I was gestalting like two or three cans of this in one go, I would maybe get sick of it. So that's why it was an 88. And then, as I described, this wonderful little can, the Zeitgeist is 93.
Sure. And sounds good. I better look it up.
Probably
a
like
93 Zeitgeist can.
Also, probably like 20, 30 of those Zeitgeist points come from being able to crack open the can like that.
Yeah, totally.
Oops. Just realized I put my numbers in your numbers.
Ooh.
Put my numbers in
here. Oh, I see it. Oh, it's the sangria one. Hey, look at these other bottles. Kucha Kaden Royal Milk Tea. That almost looks better to me. Little tin bottle.
Little tin bottle.
270 grams.
Did you just search Royal Milk Tea?
Yeah.
Huh.
Royal Milk Tea.
You should have searched for sangria.
I can get it off eBay for $5.
That's a bit expensive. I want this. Oh. I want to try the sangria strawberry milk. My theory is that that's going to be the only good strawberry milk in the world.
I bet it'll be awful, but try it anyway.
Daniel, there has to be a good strawberry milk out there somewhere in the world.
There's a Royal Milk Tea flavored Japanese Kit Kat.
Oh, that sounds good. Here's 15 supermarket milk teas ranked from worst to best. Why
don't look at other people's.
How do I not have? How do we not have 15 supermarket milk teas? Why do I only have one? Anyway, Daniel, let's hear your numbers.
Oh fuck, Brian! Listen to this. Kocha Kaden Royal Milk Tea, 270 grams, US dollars, $4.
Okay.
You can buy it now. That's approximately $5.64 Australian. Postage. Want to guess postage?
$30.
$24 Australian.
Wow. Wow.
Prohibitive. I'm not going to do it. Otherwise, I'd be drinking that good-looking thing.
I don't like that can as much as my can.
Really? I like that can more than your can.
I like the shape quite a lot, but I don't like the design as much.
The shape is great.
The shape is really good.
That good open mouth at the top.
Have you ever seen a little have you ever seen a Coke can like that?
Never.
Let's see if I can. I don't know. They have cans that are sort of like that, a little different shape. It's like a can bottle. It's quite fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, Daniel, numbers us.
Oh, sure.
Tell us your numbers.
I'll give you a quick little overview of my opinion, and then I'll numbers you, just like you did.
That's what we love to hear.
Cool. So, oak pineapples. Oak Allen's pineapples flavored milk. Brian, this is really good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is great.
That's surprising.
It is surprising. What a surprise. I was deriding the lollies because they were just like boring lollies. Yeah. Kind of too firm, you know? Mm-hmm. Stick to your teeth. And then you get this kind of fake pineapple flavor. This oak-flavored milk really aces that flavor. It tastes just like the little horrible candies. But just having it as a milk and not as a horrible chewy jube makes it more bearable. It's kind of actually really nice. It's not overpowering, so you can handle this whole carton really easily. And in fact, I finished it all quite a while ago, and then a couple times I've looked over to see if there was just a couple little drops left. So I wish I had some more of it. It's really nice.
Oh, nice, Daniel.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a milk which is easily superior to the candy.
Well, that is a, is that a first for us?
No, I feel like, oh man, I've just tipped some out onto a little piece of, into a little piece of white plastic that I had here, because I was curious about the color of the milk, and it is a bright yellow. It's a real yellowy yellow. I think I'm remembering the Nippy's Pina Colada milk as being, like, white. It's just a white milk, which tastes like coconut and pineapple. Or, you know, did a pretty bad job, if I remember correctly, of tasting like coconut and pineapple. Yeah, this is better than the Nippy's milk, even though I like Nippy's as a company better than goddamn oak, which, like, okay. Where this thing falls down is that it's an oak milk. I don't like oak. I don't like the company.
They have horrible
They're
packaging.
They're gimmicky.
Aren't they? Is oak responsible for the hungry thirsty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear what it says about hungry thirsty?
I'm not sure I do, but...
Hungry thirsty is in flavor limbo.
What?
Oak pineapples... takes Hungry Thirsty on a tropical vacay, checks it into the honeymoon suite, and then casts it adrift to wash up on the exotic shores of flavor paradise.
Okay.
Oak. It's just pronounced oak, Brian. O-A-K.
I'm not sure I understand that one at all.
Hungry Thirsty is in flavor limbo. Oak pineapples takes Hungry Thirsty on a tropical vacay. Vay-K checks it into the honeymoon suite and then casts it adrift to wash up on the exotic shores of flavor paradise.
What? That doesn't make sense.
You're right. It's detestable.
It's like Hungry Thirsty should be in limbo because they've killed it and now... Right?
Yeah, because it's... Yeah. Yeah.
But then it takes it to a tropical vacation... But then casts it out.
Cast it adrift once it's already in the honeymoon suite with it.
But then it washes up on the shores of paradise again. So Hungry Thirsty is still there, right?
Yeah.
We can't get rid of it.
And this is all happening, I assume, in the honeymoon suite.
They're basically saying...
Oak, pineapples.
This is a story about how they can't get rid of Hungry Thirsty.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, and I wish they would.
Which is...
Just a black square on the side of this, please, instead of all of this.
Yeah. Well, that's terrible. I hate it. Give them a bad score, Daniel.
Yeah, sure. I'll bump it down by 10.
Give them a real bad score. Really, really
right.
Sock it to them in the zeitgeist, Daniel.
So. I mean, this bottle looks nice. I can't give it like a nothing. I can't give it a 5.
Well, you can't
give it more than that.
I don't think you can give it a 5 because, oh, you can give it a 5. You can't give it lower than a 3.
Sure. Because they failed to find another racist product to make a milk flavor out of. All right, the numbers. Milkiness, 63.
Okay.
Tastiness, 81.
That's not super milky, Daniel.
Nah, not. I think because it's a tangy pineapple flavor.
Ah, yeah.
The milk isn't. It's like not a creamy. This is not a creamy experience. It's more of a tangy experience. But the tang is subtle.
Okay.
Tastiness 81. The creativity 76. I should write these in.
I'm adding them to the chart.
Oh, thank God. The value. This was $1.99 from IGA, my local Midland IGA. It's pretty good for these milks. So that's a 62 from me, Brian. The Gestalt, 76. Goes down pretty easy. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a tasty, tasty flavor, so it's very drinkable. It quenched me.
This is a close one, Daniel.
It is. The Zeitgeist is 30.
Oh, it's not a close one anymore.
I had originally written 40. Because it looks fine. It's just got that shit on the side, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It's flogging a dead horse. This whole ad campaign hungry thirsty thing, it's long since. It was irritating when the first second I saw it, and so having seen it for years now, I wish they would stop.
Yeah. Me too. I wish they would stop.
I don't like Oak.
No.
It's just...
It's a terrible...
They're the ones who are doing
company.
The weird creative stuff. Yeah, there's like... They've got several different, variations of milk that you can buy. Not just flavors, but like... it's almost what's the word I'm looking for? Like a group of soldiers in an army. Brigades. They've got like different brigades of milk. They've got the 600 milk cartons, all certain flavors. Then they've got these weird like plastic bottles, which are all different. Some of them are like extra thick. Some of them are like one of them, I thought they were all just extra thick, but I picked one up and it was like, oh, special flavored. And I was like, what? Special flavored? And then they've got like a third phalanx, which is these special candy tie-in milks, which they release three at a time, like once a year. They just do lots of shit. I hate them, but they just keep on doing it. And it's my job to buy them. It's my job to support them now. for this thing that we do.
I'm not sure it's your job, Daniel, but...
Of course. Positive cultural change, Brian, remember? If we don't do this podcast and the Waka Flocka Flame podcast, then how can there ever be any positive cultural change in Australia and America, respectively?
It's true. And we won't... We can't leave the world hanging. So...
No.
Yeah. All right, Daniel.
So any questions about those numbers? Any more details you want?
I guess I was a little surprised by the milkiness score, but... you know,
9.5% sugar. I just looked into it.
Wow, is that good or bad?
So it's a little on the high side.
Well, let's see. So it's slightly less milky than the racist milk.
Yeah, I see that.
More milky than the peppermint crisp. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I see that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't like the flavor of the peppermint crisp at all.
Evidently not.
All right. I think I remember it wasn't minty.
Well, that's all right, Daniel. It's okay for things to be as milky as they are. But...
Yes.
Have you seen the totals, Daniel?
No. Oh.
Well...
But I heard it wasn't close.
It was briefly close. And then your Zeitgeist really, really tanked it.
Yeah.
So, Daniel, the final scores of today.
I like that if this milk carton had fallen out of the back of the IGA delivery truck into some mud or something, and just the bullshit blurb on the side had just gotten covered up or scraped off or whatever, then this would have achieved a higher Zeitgeist than if as it stands undamaged.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
Well, that's what they get for being shit at their jobs of designing milk cartons.
Yeah.
The final score is Daniel. Oak Allen's Pineapples has scored 388. It's actually pretty good. It's decent.
Yeah, it's a good milk.
The Royal Milk Tea, Sangria Royal Milk Tea.
I think that Tessa Strickland, who was the listener who sent us the picture of the Taiwanese fruit milks, also sent us a picture of this oak pineapples milk and said, like, oh, is this one you had on the podcast yet? Oh. And I was like, nope, not yet. But now I'm like, yes. Yes, Tessa. I just did. And it's pretty good.
Yeah, there's an oak pineapples right there in the photo.
Yeah, there it is.
Right next to a Fantails. Yes.
Well, yeah, we've had that one already.
There's a Fantails, there's a pineapples. There's a milk in this photo called Oak Thick Death Chocolate Milk.
Dark chocolate, I think.
It says...
Oh, no, Dutch?
The word on the thing is death, Daniel.
Okay. All right, well, tune in next week, listeners. I'll be drinking the death milk.
I mean, that could just be this grocery store misprinting something, but the thing says death, and it's $3.25.
Ooh, it's pretty pricey for some death.
I'm interested in these thick milks, Daniel. Get one of them.
Oh, I hate oak so much. I've been snubbing it in the shops. Even though it's doing all these cool tricks. Yeah, I've just found the picture too. Let's see.
So where it says thick death chocolate milk.
Yeah. Hang on. Computer, enhance.
All right, Daniel, while you're enhancing, I'll tell you my favorite.
It is. It says thick death.
Yeah, it does. I'm not.
It's clear.
Why would I lie to you?
D-E-A-T-H. Listeners, Brian... You all thought he was lying or just being an idiot? There was some shit on his screen or something? Brian, you haven't washed your screen. You think that dark chocolate says death chocolate. Dutch chocolate says death chocolate. No, it clearly says thick death chocolate milk.
Yeah.
$3.25 each.
And the only word that's missing from that label is the word oak.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing cutting off the word death. It's capitalized. It's just thick death. Great. All right, well, there's the oak thick salted caramel over there.
Okay, so that's a shortening. I guess the name is Death by Chocolate.
Oh, okay.
Which makes more sense to me.
Mm.
I've seen that as a thing. Shake me thick. Jesus, this packaging is so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They're better than... That is the one thing I'll give oak. These, like, piece of shit milks hiding right at the bottom of the photo, these Dare iced coffees, they're trash. They're absolute bottom of the barrel petrol station trash.
All right, Daniel, listen to this.
Okay.
Here's what it says on this one. It says, ooh, death by chocolate? What does that entail? Asked Hungry Thirsty curiously. Clues in the name, stupid. Oak thick death by chocolate shakes Hungry Thirsty dead and coats its outsides in a cocoa infused casket so solid no one will hear its pathetic high pitched screams.
That's terrible. That's uncomfortable to hear.
Imagine if it was your job to write that shit. My God. Anyway, Daniel. Sangria Royal Milk Tea in a can has scored 400.
Milk of the day.
447, wait. Daniel.
400 and how many?
47.
Wow, that's great.
That's 8 points shy of being milk of the pod.
Wow, really? Oh my gosh. Why is it that high? I guess the zeitgeist and the tastiness.
The zeitgeist, the tastiness, and the gestalt. And then everything else was, you know, decent.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. There's nothing bad about this milk. It tastes really good. I mean, the only thing that's, I guess, the only knock against it would be it's only 25% milk. But it tastes great. It's a milk tea. It's lovely. I mean, and in the realm of the most tasty things we've drunk, you've got Yakult. You've got the Royal Milk Tea. Exactly.
Yeah. you just stopped talking.
Yeah. You know, I think so. It definitely was boosted by being a more unique flavor in comparison to a lot of the chocolates and strawberries and fucking vanilla, whatever shit, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, having that uniqueness, being a unique flavor, especially made it, a little easier for it to score really high on the tastiness chart there.
Yeah. Ooh, Siggy's.
Yeah.
Siggy's pipped it by 1 point.
Yeah.
Siggy's sitting at 92 tastiness.
The Siggy's was really tasty.
Man, look at the sea of Brian's up the top.
Yeah.
Of the tastiness scale. I mean, if I've just organized it by tastiness, and it goes Brian, Daniel, Brian, 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 oh, yeah. Brian, but Brian, the, Brian, Brian, Daniel, Daniel, Brian.
That one,
and so the mediocre Daniel section begins.
That one yellow one, though, means that is wrong. So it means I regret that score. So really, Daniel has the top spot with Yakult.
The score being identical to when Brian tasted Yakult.
No, you did it first, though.
96. Oh, I guess so.
But then I have, what, 7 in a row after that?
Yeah. They're getting the cream of the crop over there in America, listeners.
Mm-hmm.
That's what such staunch adherence to capitalism will do to you and your society.
Daniel.
Just the best milk in the world. Let's all go check it out.
So given that the Sangria Royal Milk Tea has scored so well and earned milk of the day, I am right at this very moment placing an order to get a 6-pack of Sangria strawberry milk, extremely popular in Japan, 9-ounce cans delivered to my house.
Listeners, I'm whispering so that Brian doesn't hear, but I thought he was going to send some to me.
How am I going to...
Oh, that's good, Brian. That's going to be the strawberry one. That's going to be the best.
Yeah. Hopefully, because I just got 6 of them. So if it's bad... Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That was the smallest number I could get at once.
On the podcast.
I could get a 24-pack of this Royal Milk Tea for like $49. Do I want that?
Hang on. Wait, a 24-pack for $49.
Yeah, so it's like, it's a little more than $2 per thing. No, it's not. Mm. It's not a good deal. It's just an extremely large amount.
Oh, it's not a good deal. It's just an extremely large amount.
Yeah, I wasn't sharing it because it was a deal of any kind. No, Daniel.
I like that as a selling point. Oh, it's not a good deal. It's just an incredibly large amount. I don't know. Have you been listening to the Two in the Think Tank podcast recently?
Of course, Daniel. But should we wrap up this episode?
Yeah, they're pretty good. Huh? This episode?
They are very good. Love that podcast.
Yeah, they're great. I bought Magma.
Oh, did you watch it yet?
Yeah, of course.
Did you love it?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's so good.
What did I like? What was my favorite thing? Trying to think of what my favorite joke was. It's been a while since I watched it, so I don't remember what my favorite joke was.
Was it "I stand in awe"? Which really works a lot better in a Australian accent.
Yeah, that must have been it.
All right, Daniel. Well, this episode, listeners, has been brought to you by Magma, by Two in the Think Tank. Go to SOS Presents.com /programs/magma. And you too can purchase for the low, low price of $10 Australian, Daniel? Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's right.
An hour of just hilarious, hilarious comedy.
But you got to make an account with their website to do that. So if you don't want to do that, just DM me and I'll video my screen with Magma playing and I'll send you the hour-long phone video. And then just send them $10 through PayPal or something.
Yeah.
All right, plus like send them $5 Daniel, and me $5 because I was the cameraman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. All right.
I liked how they did the hand sanitizer.
Yeah, that was good.
That was good.
That was good. That was good.
I like their outfits.
Daniel, we need to conclude our episode.
Okay, sure. Did you know that I've got a clock with them on in the Magma outfits?
You did a clock?
Yeah, I've got the clock.
You clocked it? I've got a pillow.
Ah. I like it as a clock.
I've got a pillow right here.
Although it doesn't
here.
Have any numbers on.
It would be a good clock. It's a good pillow because it just sits there staring at you. And there's a picture on both sides, so front and back.
Mm, that's good.
It's a little throw pillow on this couch here. Okay, Daniel. With that...
All right, Brian.
I think we can wrap
without
up.
Without further ado... Yeah.
The world's longest episode
Thanks
of...
Thanks for tuning... In
to this Moo in the
Milk in It podcast,
Moo in the Drink Tank,
the milk question, the purity and virility of the white
race. Oh my god,
hard cut!
I'm gonna, that'll be it.
Cool.